In our last few Sunday mornings together, we've been talking about the subject of worship. And the truth is that we have not nearly exhausted the subject of worship, even within our worship services. We haven't exhausted the things that we could talk about. And perhaps that we will, at a later time, come back to some of those things and add to this series. But for now, I feel led that this will be the last in this series for a while, as I've been burdened to preach some other things that, Lord willing, will begin next week. But as we end this morning, I'd like to end on the subject of being not just hearers, but doers as well. Now, over the last few weeks, as I said, we've learned a lot about worship. We've had several messages there upon worship. But just like all the messages that you receive, folks, it does no good to just sit in the pews and to shake your head and nod in agreement. It's not enough just to say amen. We must put to practical use the things that are taught to us and instructed us in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, in chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to begin our reading in verse number 19. We're going to read down through verse number 25. In James 1:19 it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now our subject, of course, this morning comes from verse 22, again, where it speaks about us being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But before we look directly at that verse, we want to look at the context of what's behind that verse. First of all, we understand that the words that are penned here are written by James. Now James here is likely the half-brother of Jesus Christ, who became an early leader in the church there at Jerusalem especially now. And he was writing not to a Gentile audience, but he was writing to a Jewish audience. Though he was writing to those who had grown up living under the law, but now were learning to live by the perfect law of liberty. That is grace. Learning to live under grace. James' dominant theme in this book is faith. Now, not necessarily a saving faith, because he's writing to those who have already been saved. But he's speaking about a faith that moves us to action. Folks, faith in the book of James, and you might consider even the word Christian, even though it's not found here, but to James, that's a verb. Faith is a verb. Christian is a verb to him. Why? Because any Christian who is truly a Christian shows his faith by his works. They show his faith by his works. Conversely, he's also saying, if you call yourself a Christian, that is, if you say you have faith and you have not works, you probably need to reexamine yourself. Because you're not who you say you are. Not who you believe you are, anyway. By the way, the same is true today. Things have not changed. The Word of God tells us that the mark of a Christian is the good fruit that they produce in their life. But let's look again here in verse number 19. James tells us that we are to be swift to hear and slow to speak. You know what? It's usually the other way around, isn't it? Often it is. You know, when you're talking to other people, They're typically only listening to about half of what you're saying because they're already thinking about what they're going to say in response to what you're saying. Put an argument on top of it, and it's even less than that to listen to. Because they're just thinking about the next point they're going to argue. Right? You've got to be honest with yourselves. You know it's true. You know, God gave men two ears and one mouth. And He gave it that way for a reason. You see, He expects us to use our ears more than we do our mouth. Our mouths get us in trouble more than anything else in the world. The tongue is hard to tame. James says, be swift to hear. You know, as we've spent the last few weeks here talking about worship, which is really the whole reason, right, that God created all things so that we might glorify God. We learned that in the very beginning. My question is now, were you swift to hear? Were you swift to hear? And really, this isn't a question just to be asked with this series, but really, it's with every message that's ever preached from the pulpit, with every lesson that's ever taught by the Sunday school teachers, right? Were you swift to hear? You see, hearing takes intent. You know, you can come to every single church service for an entire year, and you can hear all kinds of words. You can hear all kinds of stories and maybe never hear anything truly at all. You may leave not knowing what was preached 10 minutes after you leave. You know, when I was going through school, we used to have to sit through some philosophy classes that I thought were absolutely the most boring things in the world. And we'd go to those philosophy classes because attendance was required, so it was the only class that was packed every time you went. They had to make it attendance required, otherwise nobody would go, probably. But I would sit in those classes week after week, half eyes, half closed, not paying any attention, and I couldn't tell you a thing they talked about. Don't have any clue. It was mumble jumble. It wasn't important. You know what? That's honestly the way the church is to many people. It truly is. As a matter of fact, I will tell you straight up, when I was lost, that's how every service was to me. I had no interest in it at all. My interest was, when do we get out of here? I want to go play. There's some things I want to do. You'd sit there and watch the clock. Now I'm going to be really honest with you. The times in my life when I was the furthest from God, involved in the things that I shouldn't have been, and I was still yet coming to church, still standing up, still going through the motions, still singing songs, still praying when called upon, I still wasn't interested in hearing. My thoughts was, what am I going to get into when I leave church today? Who am I going to hang out with? All the things of this world. Lots of words were being said. But after I walked out of that door, I probably couldn't tell you what the sermon was about. You know what? I thank God for the mercy that He showed me during my life, during my times of disobedience. And I'm thankful that He forgives a sinner like me. So the first thing that I think is necessary to even hear the Word of God is intent and desire in the first place. Knowing that the words that are going to be spoken are words that are going to be nourishment to our very souls. You know, I love the words over in Psalms in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there, but it says, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A hart is a deer. And as I read those scriptures, you know, I have this vision of a deer and how it's been running and running, and it comes to the brook and it stops and it just begins just to fill itself with the water there, drinking until it's fully satisfied. Brothers and sisters, that's how it should be when we come to the house of God. We should be panting from being out in the world all week long and coming in to hear the Word of God. when it's taught, when it's sung, when it's preached, when it's spoken about. Taking it all up so that we might be satisfied. You know, when we're involved in the things of this world, when we're involved in the sins of this world, the Spirit that lives within us, do you know what it's doing? It's starving. It's starving. It's thirsting. But we're so tied up into the flesh, we don't even notice. So in effort to hear, folks, we must separate. We must separate ourselves from this world. We must separate ourselves from our sin. Cast it out. Because only till we cast out our sin and turn from the world can we truly turn our ears towards the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't just happen typically in a snap of a finger. It doesn't just happen when you walk through the door. We know that. It takes effort. It takes effort to hear. It takes effort for true worship. True worship takes effort. True hearing will only happen when we are crying out to the Holy Spirit to teach us. Secondly, when we turn our ears towards the preaching and teaching of God's Word and we are listening intently and it all sounds good, like when we talk about being created for worship or worshiping in spirit and truth or worshiping in song, those fun topics that we talk about. But you know what? Once we've heard the Word of God, there's something we need to do. We need to make sure that what is being preached is in accordance with the Word of God. You see, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we are to blindly listen to what is being spoken. On the contrary, it tells us that we need to examine the words that are being spoken because there's all kinds out there who are speaking things that are pleasing to the ears. Wolves in sheep's clothing, wells without water, right? Seeking to steal, kill, and destroy the flock of God. So my desire for you, brothers and sisters, today, and as we look back upon the subjects that we've talked about, and even in the weeks to come as I preach and as Brother Greg teaches or the others teach, whenever you hear a message, that you go and you make sure it's, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You know, the words of Luke as he writes the book of Acts always stick out to me. You know, as Paul and Silas were going from place to place and they were preaching from place to place, they come to Berea. And in Acts 17, verse 11, it says, they were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Did you notice the saints at Berea, what they did? First of all, they received the word with all readiness. That is, as they had their ears turned towards what was being said. They were intently listening. But they went beyond that because they went and they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Seeing if the things that Paul and Silas jived with what they had come to know is the truth. You know what? How much more fortunate are we than they? You know, on your laps, you all have a Bible. I think everybody here does. But, you know, you have the completed Word of God. You have it all. They didn't. You do. Today, you have it on your phone. You have it on your iPad. You have it on your computer. You know, someday, you'll wear Google glasses and probably have it right there in your eyeball. I don't know how those things work, but, you know, it'll be there. You have search engines. You can type two or three words and bam, it's right there. You remember the days? Brother Greg remembers, I know. The days of the Strong's Concordance, he probably still using his. When you whip out that big old book to look up your verse. And if you wanted to look at two or three words, Randy's still using his. We got to update you guys. You want to look at two or three words, and you have to make a list over here and a list over here, and it takes time and a lot of effort to do it. And today it's so easy. It's just a matter of you can almost drive down the road and search it at the same time if it weren't illegal. But you know what? Today it's so easy just to go home, to look, to see if those things were so that's been preached from the Word of God. But so often, what do? We blindly put faith in whatever the preacher is preaching, and we say, you know what, that's what we believe, what he says. And you know what? So very few people, so very few people outside of grace, right? They don't have a clue what they truly believe. You ever ask somebody what they believe about something? And if the preacher that they go to church at lives close or is close by, they'll say, well, let me let you go talk to my pastor. He'll tell you what we believe. You ought to know what you believe. You ought to know. You ought to be able to show it in the Word of God because you've listened to it and you've went home and you've looked it up and you know it's so. Now that we have with readiness received the Word of God, studied it to see if these things be so, now comes the hardest part, right? Remember the words of James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must indeed be doers. It doesn't do one bit of good to listen and then to study it out if we do not bear the fruit of the Word that has been sown. When we stand before you, whether it be me, whether it be someone else, you know what? When we preach about things like sin, those uncomfortable things about sin, and you go home and you look to the Word of God and you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And you read that based on what's been taught. Do you know what the Word of God is like? It's what it says in James. It's like a looking glass, like a mirror. And we go and we look into it and we see what kind of manner of man that we are. And we see that, yes, that drunkenness is wrong. And we must understand, we don't just hear, we don't just look, then we must do. We must do. The Word of God ought to convict us, and then we ought to be willing to turn from our sin and not just turn from it, but rather really run from it so that we might not sin against an all-holy and righteous God. And folks, it's not just about hearing messages about sin and fleeing from it, although that's a wonderful start. You see, the Word of God is not just filled with thou shalt nots. The Word of God is filled with a lot of thou shalt do's. When we preach to you about being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, first it ought to take you to the Word of God, and then it ought to take you out to be a witness in the world, to tell people their need for Christ, because people still need to hear Christ. God is still working. He's not done with this land. He's not done with this people. Until He comes back, folks, we are to be a witness to God. You know what? Most of us are scared to death to go out into this world. Scared to death of what the world will think of us. But you know what? When we do that, you know what we're being? We're being a hearer and not a doer. We're being a hearer and not a doer. Folks, we need to be both. We must be both. We need to hear and we need to do. Now, notice in verse 26... what it says there, it says the man who does these things will be blessed, shall be blessed. I don't know about you, but folks, I want to have the blessings of the Lord upon me. I want the Lord's blessings. I imagine some of you all want the blessings of God to be upon you. Folks, I want every blessing that He has in His storehouse for me. But you know what? The only way that I'm going to see those blessings is if I go beyond hearing and begin the doing. To do what the Word of God tells me to do. You know, when Christ was upon this earth, He demonstrated this principle of doing and not just hearing as He instructed those around Him. And I want to look there, if you would, with me, in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look in chapter 19. Luke 19, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. It says here, He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Lord here speaking in a parable, right? The nobleman, of course, this parable is none other than Himself. It is Jesus Christ. He is the one who is now gone. He's given us work to do, right? This is Him it's speaking of. Verse number 13. And He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. These servants represent us, of course. And here is where we see the hearing. You see that the Master told them to take what He gave them and to turn it into more. That's pretty simple. That's what He told them to do. Then in verse number 14 it reads, but His citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when He was returned, having received the kingdom, then He commanded these servants to be called unto Him to whom He had given the money, that He might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thou pound hath gained 5 pounds. And He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. These men were doers. They did exactly what they were told to do. They heard and they did. What a wonderful thing it must have been to hear the words of the Master say, well, thou good servant. But look at the last one here. You see, the last one here heard the commandment just like the others. But he was a hearer and not a doer. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which shall be given, and to him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Brothers and sisters, as we read this parable, do you really want to go through life and be a hearer and not a doer? Do you really want to stand before Jesus when we give the account of the things that we've done in our lives for Him, the judgment seat of Christ? Don't you want to have some treasures laid up in heaven because you were a doer and not a hearer only? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in a pile of ashes with nothing to show. I want to hear my Master say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you might say, Brother John, well, I know what you're saying this morning is all true. But I'm not so sure why you'd close a series of worship with this kind of message. Well, the answer is simple. In the last few weeks, you've heard a lot about worship. A lot. You know, we started off this series showing you that indeed you were created, born to worship. You were created to give God glory, the greatest instrument of praise that has ever existed. That's you. Did that message make you desire to praise the Lord more? You know what? Most of you all left that day excited. I saw it in your eyes. I heard it in your speech. You left excited to hear how all of creation is just crying out to give God glory. But since then, have you cried out to give God glory like you should? Have you cried out at home? Have you cried out at work? Have you cried out right here? Has it made a difference at Grace? Secondly, we looked at worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and not just going through the motions, right? But truly worshiping the Lord in great joy, but certainly within the confines of the truth of God's Word and the indecency and order like He has told us to do. But, you know, we should come to the house of the Lord in joy. We should come in spirit. We should come in praising Him when we are here. You know what? You heard the words. And again, you left rejoicing. But has it changed anything that you've done? Has it changed your desire of how you please Him? The next week we looked at preparing for worship. The toughest probably of these messages, maybe before now. We discussed how before we ever come to the house of God, we need to prepare to hear the Word of God. Prepare for worship. By preparing physically, by preparing spiritually, by giving the place of God precedence in our life and actually being here in the first place. Did you hear? And cast it aside? Or have you prepared differently in these last few weeks than you have before? Have you put effort into what will be said before you ever got here? Through prayer, through reading, through meditation. Last week I spoke of glorifying the Lord in song. Did it make you want to sing out even more? Did it make you want to sing out and cause you to desire to come in the house of the Lord and worship Him truly with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? To praise God? To sing unto the Lord a new song? Not just hearing, but doing. How about today? Will anything that you've heard cause you to spring into action? Because here's the stark reality. If you have no desire to be a doer of the Word, then you've spent a lot of time here in vain the last few weeks. And here's the more worst of the scenarios. If you have no desire to be a doer of the Word, then perhaps you need to examine what you call yourself. Perhaps you're just as that wicked servant and not a servant at all. My desire here this afternoon is that you be hearers of the Word. But my hope and prayer is truly that we might be doers as well. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us.